Dispensationalism, lie number one, the postponement of the kingdom. That is the message I have for you today, ladies and gentlemen. Some of you may be wondering, you know, what's he talking about? Dispensationalism, I never heard of it. That's okay, because, you know, as a new Christian, I really was not aware of this either. So what I'm going to do here, just give you a brief definition from Wikipedia here. Now, it says dispensationalism is a religious interpretive system and meta-narrative for the Bible. It considers biblical history as divided by God into dispensations, defined periods or ages to which God has allotted distinctive administrative principles. According to dispensationalism, each age of God's plan is thus administered in a certain way, and humanity is held responsible as a steward during that time. Dispensationalists' presuppositions start with the inductive reasoning that biblical history has a particular discontinuity in the way God reacts to humanity in the unfolding of their sometimes supposed free wills. Dispensationalism stands in contrast to the traditional system of covenant theology used in biblical interpretation. The dispensational people, they put a distinction between Israel and the church and the start of the church age. It talks about classic dispensationalism began with John Nelson Darby. Darby was succeeded by the theologian C.I. Schofield, Bible teacher Harry Ironside, Sperry Chafer, and so on. And then it talks about premillennial dispensationalism. They affirm a future literal 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, and so on and so forth. So you could go there yourself. Just Google dispensationalism. It'll come up on the screen. So obviously, I am not a dispensationalist, folks. I believe it is a super dangerous way to examine the scriptures, and that's what we're going to talk about here today. So you know, in the Bible, folks, you know, one of the things that this dispensational crowd teaches, you know, when you hear the word the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, they'll say, oh, that means two different things. But I want to show you, folks, you know, they'll be saying that the kingdom of God is for the Jewish people, the kingdom of heaven, it has to do with the Gentiles and so on and so forth. And this is how it is. We're going to get into this whole thing about the postponement theory, which is what it is. It's a false theory. And in further messages, God willing, we'll touch on how this thing came about with John Nelson Darby, folks. You need to know this stuff. We're living in the last days, the latter part of the last days, folks. Let me dig into the Word of God. Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 to 17. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zabulon and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, or it says Isaiah, that's the Greek, Isaiah the prophet saying, the land of Zabulon and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Hallelujah. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Glory to God. You know, when I read these Old Testament prophecies, folks, regarding Christ, I get very excited, especially here, because I know it is talking about Christ. It's talking about Jesus Christ. Now, what I'm going to do here, I'm going to read to you from that prophecy of Isaiah. You can find that, dig it up in the scriptures for yourself. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Look at this. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by way of the sea beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Hallelujah. Who do you think this is talking about, ladies and gentlemen? It's talking about a great light. This was a prophecy concerning Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world, ladies and gentlemen. So the people were sitting in darkness. These people, they're sitting in darkness. They are lost souls. Hear that now. If you are sitting in darkness, spiritual darkness, you don't know the Lord. You need to come out of that darkness. So this is what this is talking about. Jesus Christ is the one who is being prophesied about here. He is the light of the world. Look at this in John 8 and 12. It says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." You know, when people talk about the kingdom of God being postponed, and what they do, ladies and gentlemen, these dispensational people, they say because Israel, meaning the Jewish people, because they rejected Christ, that God came up with Plan B. This is wicked. Plan B, that the kingdom is postponed. Can you imagine this? That they say it's postponed because Israel rejected Christ. As if God was dependent upon the whims of the people that walk on planet Earth. You have to be kidding me. And folks, this system, you know, one of these false teachings, they hinge upon the other. And this is what, you know, this is why I'm bringing this forth to you today, folks. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. That's what that scripture is talking about. He came into the world, ladies and gentlemen. So if you notice that when the Lord spoke in that passage, Matthew 4, verses 12 to 17, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And I'm going to show you how these two things are interchangeable. Let's go to Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 15. You could jot these down. These are good because you will come across people, folks, that will talk that gibberish. And because they learned it themselves, your heart got to break for them. They learn it. They send them the teachings. They'll put the cassette in and listen over and over and over. And this is what they breathe. And this is why they believe it. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 15. "Now, after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." Okay, now I'm going to show you how this is speaking about the same kingdom, ladies and gentlemen. You notice that this time it uses the words, "the kingdom of God is at hand." Okay, so John was put in prison. Don't miss that in Mark, this passage from Mark. And if you go back to that other passage from Matthew, it says here, when Jesus had heard John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. So let's go back here now. Mark 1, 14 to 15. "Now after that, John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee." Do you see that? It is talking about the same exact point in time. One time they use kingdom of heaven. Another time in Mark, they use the kingdom of God. Interchangeable, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so it's important that you see this. And what is taking place here? He's saying the kingdom of God is at hand. Okay, it's not postponed to a future, a kingdom, a millennial kingdom. It is now. The kingdom of God is present. The kingdom of God is now. Glory to God. In fact, if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you are in that kingdom. You've been born again, and you're into the kingdom of God, ladies and gentlemen. This is now. This is present. It's a spiritual kingdom. Don't listen to these false dispensational teachers. They will sweep you away, folks, with their talk, with their books. You know, the Scofield Bible, very, very powerful, used by these dispensationalists, ladies and gentlemen. All the notes on the side, and you know, I remember as a new Christian, a specific time I was shopping in a Christian bookstore in Queens, and you know, if you know my testimony, I used to, before I got saved, I was searching for the truth. I would spend eons of time in bookstores going shelf by shelf by shelf by shelf. I mean, hours. And so when I got saved, you know, I found myself doing the same thing only in Christian bookstores, looking for good books. And I would spend time going from shelf to shelf to shelf, poring over those books. And one particular time I had a Scofield Bible in my hand, I kid you not. And I'm going through the notes. I'm looking at the notes because I want to know if this is the truth. And, you know, I started looking at some of the notes and I said, this doesn't fit. This doesn't sound right. I can't remember exactly which notes I was looking at, but I remember spending so much time. In fact, it was a leather Bible. I'd like to feel it at leather. You know, I used to play softball. I like a good baseball mitt. The leather felt really good. I said, man, this feels good in my hand. And as I'm doing that, as I'm looking at this book, a few aisles over, I could hear two ladies talking about Bibles. And one lady said to the next, oh boy, do I love that Scofield Bible. That's my favorite Bible. And I'm saying, look at this. I'm holding the Scofield Bible in my hand. But the Spirit of God would not allow me to purchase that book. I put it back on the shelf. I was digging. I was looking at the notes and it didn't sit right with me. Glory to God. That is the Spirit of the living God, ladies and gentlemen. And I thank God for discernment. I pray for discernment every day, folks. Yes, I do, and it's a good thing to do. So let's keep going here. I want to show you, ladies and gentlemen, Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 to 7. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the Lord sent his disciples, said, this is the message I want you to preach. Folks, the Jewish people were waiting for their Messiah, and now the Lord has come. Here's Jesus Christ sent down from heaven. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's not, he wasn't saying it's going to, 2,000 years away, folks. Oh, no. You see what I'm saying here, folks? This is the way the devil works. This is how he keeps the truth from being preached to the Jewish people. Listen to me now, whether you're Jewish or Gentile, if you do not know Christ, if you've never been born again of the Spirit, you are sitting in darkness, you are still dead in your sins. That's the message you need to hear, folks. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, it is now, it is present. For the past couple of thousand years, this gospel's been preached, folks. And get out of that mindset that we're talking about a future kingdom. It is now. Hallelujah. So, you know, the bottom line is when the Lord came into the world, ladies and gentlemen, he came into the world to save people. He came to seek and save that which was lost. John chapter 1, verses 10 to 14. He was in the world, speaking of Christ. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons or children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, another lie that the dispensational teachers will tell you, oh, the Gospels, that's law. No, Paul, we got to follow Paul. He's the apostle of grace. Oh, no, don't preach the gospel. That was for the Jewish people. That's the kingdom of God. Oh, no, the words of Jesus, they're not for us today. Folks, I've heard it all. This is what you hear. Listen to me. He was in the world. The world was made by him. Jesus Christ, he's the creator of all things. But they didn't know him. He came unto his own, meaning his own Jewish people, and his own Jewish people received him not. Listen to this, but as many as received him, I received him, You received them if you've been born again, if you trusted in Christ. But as many as received them, to them gave he power to become the children of God. And I remember reading this this part here, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You know, I'm a new Christian. And I said to my wife, Kathy, I said, Kath, look at this. Look at this verse here. Nor of the will of man, but of God. We're born. This is what it means to be born again. We're born of God. Hallelujah. If you've been born of the Spirit, you've been born of God. It's an awesome thing, folks, to be saved, to be a Christian, to be truly born again of the Spirit is a miracle. So, and this is for Jew and Gentile. So he came unto his own, for the most part, most of the Jewish people rejected him. They received him not. So this is something you know to be true if you're reading the Bible. So it's important that you know, ladies and gentlemen, the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. Don't forget John chapter 3, when the Lord went to a rabbi named Nicodemus. John chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth or wishes, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. The wind blows, ladies and gentlemen. You don't see the wind. You see the effect of the wind, perhaps on a tree. You see the leaves and branches moving back and forth. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. You're born from above. Okay? You're born from above. Not by going into a baptismal pool. You're born from above. You become part of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is now. Not some future event, ladies and gentlemen. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is now. And this is what the Lord is speaking to this Jewish rabbi. So keep that in mind, that he came unto his own people. And, you know, they need him now. For the past 2,000 years, ladies and gentlemen, when Christ walked this earth, they needed him. And nothing has changed, ladies and gentlemen. So I want you to know, folks, you know, one of the other things they teach in this dispensational crowd, you know, they say, well, because the Jewish people, because Israel rejected Jesus, you know, that's why Jesus had to go to the cross. I kid you not. So this is like plan B. So this is postponed. So now the kingdom's postponed because Israel rejected Jesus Christ. Not so. I mean, now you're tampering and twisting the scriptures to your own destruction. We are talking about the Son of God. We're talking about the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. My, oh, my. And now you're going to take the prophecies that prophesied of Christ, and talk that gibberish. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 3 to 6. This was a prophecy that was given approximately 700 years before Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. This is a prophecy that prophesied of that very thing. Think about that for a couple of seconds. Let me give you verses 3 to 6. It's 12 verses in a chapter. I'm just going to give you these, and then I'll give you another one. 53 verses 3 to 6. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement or punishment of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Folks, those are some of the most powerful, beautiful words ever spoken. If you're a Christian, your heart rejoices when you hear such things. This prophecy, this prophetic word regarding Christ doing it for us. He bore our griefs, carried our sorrows. Think about that. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Can you imagine this? He did that for us. The Lord hath laid on him, on Christ, the iniquity of us all. He went to that cross, ladies and gentlemen, and he did it for you. Listener, no matter who you are, keep this in mind. This prophecy of Christ dying on the cross is for you. He went to the cross for you. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, I don't care how bad you are, you want mercy, folks, you can call upon the Lord and he will save your soul. This is the mercy of God. This kingdom is not postponed. It's for Jew and Gentiles, for every person in the world. Don't ever forget that. Let me give you one more verse, ladies and gentlemen, from this beautiful chapter 53 of Isaiah, verse 12. "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." My, oh my. Prophecy regarding Christ. What does this talk about? That he was numbered with the transgressors. What is that talking about? Let's go to Mark chapter 15, verses 25 to 28. "And it was the third hour, and they crucified him, and a superscription of the accusation was written over," meaning, let me stop there, it was written over the cross, at the top, you know, above his head. This is what they wrote: "The King of the Jews." "And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors." Stop the clock right there. We're talking fulfillment, ladies and gentlemen. I want to show you that the kingdom of God is now, and that these prophecies were fulfilled back then. This is not a future kingdom. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is now, and you need to be in it. If you are not saved today, you need to be in that kingdom. If you want to see heaven, folks, it's either heaven or it is hell. You're going to one of two places. You're going to heaven, or you're going to hell. No purgatory, no second shot, folks. You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. And that's what you need to know. And this scripture was fulfilled, ladies and gentlemen. Right here we see in the New Testament, verse 28, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors." That was the prophecy from Isaiah 53, verse 12. So here's the fulfillment. When he died on the cross between two thieves, he was numbered with the transgressors. Okay? Speaking of the thieves, okay? So, you know, folks, this futurism, oh, it's all in the future. Don't fall for it, folks. You're Jewish today, you need the Lord. If you're Gentile today, you need the Lord. Don't forget. So that's what I want to get across to you. If you look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, we find John, who was persecuted for the gospel's sake, on the Isle of Patmos, and it says here, verse 9, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ." Revelation 1, verse 9, here it is. "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." So it says right here, here's John, one of the original disciples. He says, in tribulation and in the kingdom, he's in the kingdom. Now, if he was in a kingdom back then, that means the kingdom of God was present right then. And it still is today, folks. He says, "I'm your brother." Every person who's a true born-again believer, a true Christian, they're your brother or sister, if it's a female, we're all level. We're on level ground, folks. We've been born again of the Spirit. Glory to God. You know, these are things You need to know, ladies and gentlemen, Acts 2:22-24, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands, listen to that, have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. My, oh my. So the determinate counsel of foreknowledge of God, this was known, ladies and gentlemen. So this is not some future thing. The kingdom of God is now. And look what it says here. You have taken, speaking to the Jewish people, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. My, oh my. Let's go to the book of Ephesians now. I want to show you something, folks, that the Gentiles, I'm a Gentile, I'm not Jewish, so I'd be called a Gentile. So that the Gentiles are in the kingdom of God if they are believers in Jesus Christ. So if you're listening out there today, you're a Gentile, man or woman, I say, praise God, my brother, and praise God, my sister. If you're Jewish and you believe in Jesus Christ, man or woman, I say, praise God. Glory to God, my brother, my sister. We're all one in the kingdom. Jesus Christ, that's what makes the difference. So here we go. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, or of two, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Hallelujah. So this is beautiful, folks. It says, if you're a Gentile, come on in. You come in because Jesus Christ is the answer. We're made nigh by the blood of Christ. So that's the determining factor, folks. It's the blood of Christ that will wash away your sins and nothing else. It says, for he is our peace. Without Christ, folks, there is no peace. You can't be made right with God if you don't know Christ, if you don't accept Christ, if you don't put your faith in him, if you don't call upon the Lord for mercy and trust Christ, then you're lost. You remain in darkness. So this kingdom is present. If you're sitting in darkness, you're sitting in deception, ladies and gentlemen. You're dead in your sins. And there's only one way for you to come out of that darkness. It's to receive the light of the world, be cleansed by the blood that Christ shed for you upon the cross. Without that, you're still dead in your sins. If you die in that condition, you will go to hell. You know, I tell this to people all the time. You know, when I got saved, folks, I knew. Oh, boy, did I know. I knew that everyone without Christ was as lost as could be. So when I hear false teachings like this, that the kingdom is postponed, you know, I have to speak up. So we're talking about being built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. If you're a believer, you're a stone in the temple of God, male or female. We're all on the same level, ladies and gentlemen. You're born again, lady, praise God, my sister. Born again, man, praise God, my brother. You're a stone. Picture those Legos, okay, with a cornerstone. Those little wood Legos, okay. Christ is the cornerstone, and we're all little Legos. Hop in. No matter where you are in this world, folks, you become part of the temple of God. This is where freedom is. This is where liberty is, folks. He paid the price for you. He began a good work. He's going to finish it. You just trust in the Lord. He will sanctify you. How? By faith. We walk this walk by faith. Faith to faith, grace to grace. He will bring you through. Hallelujah. So this is what I want to get across to you. One last passage. I'll end with this in John 8, 42 to 47. John 8, 42 to 47. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, speaking to the Jewish people, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. You know, those are some powerful words, ladies and gentlemen, very rarely spoken from pulpits across America, because this teaching, this dispensational teaching, has so permeated the churches. So you know, when you preach stuff like this, you know, it makes people think a little. You know, it's some powerful stuff there, ladies and gentlemen. The bottom line is this: there's no postponement to the kingdom. So whether you're Jewish or Gentile, the bottom line is that you need Jesus Christ. You need Jesus Christ. You know, I've shared the gospel with my share of Jewish people. You know, I remember when Kathy's mom was in a nursing home in Queens, you know, we came across quite a few Jewish people. In fact, one of them was a roommate of Kathy's mom. So I got to speak to the husband of the woman who was in the hospital. And both of them were survivors of the Holocaust, you know. And I shared the gospel. We you know, we give him a tract or something. And he used to carry candies around with him. And he'd hand me a candy and say, keep up the good work. You know, I love this guy. I love ministering the word to him. And, you know, I went to hand him a tract one day. He pulled a Bible tract out of his pocket. He said, somebody just gave this to me from his neighborhood. And I looked at the tract. I read the whole thing. I love reading tracts. It was a really colorful tract. And it was a tract that was meant specifically for the Jewish people. And it was an excellent biblical presentation of the gospel. You see? So I looked at the man. I said, you know something, Yosef? I said, the Lord is after you. You know, I read the tract. I said, this is unbelievable. So, you know, it's the work of the Spirit of God. You know, I met the man, you know, we met the man later after that, you know, when Kathy's mom or her father was in the hospital. You know, so, folks, we give the gospel to people. And so, you know, but I want to get it across to you that if you die without Christ, you're going to die in your sins, that you're lost. That there's nothing, it's all over, you know, it's all over. I remember I went through a funeral of somebody. In fact, it was one of the people who was in that nursing home. She wanted me to speak at her funeral. And I remember the main preacher, the pastor of the church, you know, when he got up to speak, he says, like, what is written is written. Like, in other words, your relationship to this lady, it's over. Nothing else can be said. What is written is written. It's done. It's over. And that's the way it is, folks. Powerful words. That goes for anybody. You know, when it's over and over, folks, when you breathe your last, that's it. That's it. So it's between you and the Lord what you do with this gospel, whether you're Jewish or Gentile, whatever you do. What will you do with Christ? That is the question. What will you do? You know, you know what's going on right now in your heart. What will you do with this person that you know as Jesus Christ? Be blessed.